Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Sukkah, daf Chav Dalet, 24th daf of the Masechta. We are about halfway through the Masechta. We're in the middle of the second perek, and we're discussing the mitzvah of Sukkah. There are two strange phenomena that we spoke about yesterday. Before we begin, let's thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. The daf will be learned Lezecher Nishmas, Lois Lupin Zaltzman. There are two strange phenomena that we discussed yesterday in yesterday's daf. We talked about putting a Sukkah on top of an animal. Okay, so in other words, having a camel and throwing a sukkah right in the back of a camel. So is that going to be good or is that not going to be good? So as we remember yesterday, that was machlokes between the Tanaim, whether or not that's going to be good. Our Mishnah says it's fine. The Mishnah, going back to the Chav Beis Amid Beis 22b, so the Mishnah says that's not a problem. And the Gemara pointed out on Chav Gimel Amid Aleph that that's going according to Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir has no problem putting the sukkah on the back of an animal. Rabbi Yehuda does have a problem with that. Rabbi Yehuda says it's not going to be a good sukkah. Why not? So if you remember yesterday, we said the reason behind Rabbi Yehuda is because it has to be a sukkah royal l'shiva. It has to be fit for all 7 days of sukkahs. And I can't climb onto the back of an animal, neither on Yontif nor on Shabbos. And most sukkahs you'll have both. Some sukkahs will coincide. But I can't climb on the back of an animal, neither on Yontif nor on Shabbos. And therefore, it's not a sukkah royal l'shiva. It's only good for 6 days. It's only good for 5 days. And that's not a good sukkah. It has to be a sukkah good for all 7 days. Rav Meir's counter-argument, a very simple one, is you're right, you can't climb on the back of an animal, but that's an Issa Derabanan, that's a Gzera Derabanan. Midaraisa, you can climb on the back of an animal. So it's hard to imagine, this is Rav Meir's counter-argument to Rav Yehuda, hard to imagine that your inability to climb on the back of an animal because of Gzera Derabanan is going to redefine the status of the animal. So Rav Meir says, I don't see that. I don't see that, how that's possible. Okay, and we left it off as a machlof between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, and it works out well. Our Mishnah goes like Rav Meir, stop Mishnah Rav Meir. Okay. Then the other case that we discussed yesterday, which is going to continue into today's discussion, is going to be using an animal as a wall. Meaning not putting a sukkah on the back of an animal, but using an actual animal as a wall. I mentioned yesterday, don't call Pete on me, nor on the Gemara. I understand it's not going to be, we're not being super sensitive to the animal, but again, the animal's there to serve us, and so we're going to, I mean, we eat them. So instead, the service of the animal is there to provide for us, maybe perhaps walls for the sukkah. So is that going to work? So that also was a machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. And here, oddly enough, we go the other direction, where Rav Meir says no, it's no good, it's pasul, and Rav Yehuda says no, it's fine, it's kosher. Now, why? So the side of kosher according to Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara points out, the Gemara doesn't even bother explaining, meaning it's obvious. An animal is made out of substance, it's there, it's mass. In other words, why can't it be a mechitza? Can I remind ourselves, we went back in Erevin, I'm going back to Erevin, I didn't mention this point yesterday. We talked in Erevin about making mechitzas using human being, using people. Right? In other words, if you configure people in a certain way, so people could serve as mechitzas, and people could become walls. The idea that animals are going to serve as a mechitza, a valid mechitza, that's not a problem whatsoever. That's totally fine. So as far as Rav Yehuda's position is concerned, the Gemara doesn't even bother explaining it. It's evident. It's self-evident. Of course, the animal could be used as a mechitza. The issue is, what's behind Rabbi Meir? Why does Rabbi Meir not allow an animal to be used as a mechitza? That's the question. And really, the truth of the matter is that question is going to preoccupy us. It preoccupied us half of yesterday, and it's going to preoccupy us for most of today. Okay, why does Rabbi Meir not allow the animal to be used as a mechitza? So if you remember yesterday, so the Gemara, the Amoraim, gave two explanations behind Rabbi Meir. One explanation is Abai Shematamas. The animal's going to die. In other words, we're worried. Sorry, it's a gzera. We're worried that the animal's going to die. Now, the animal's going to die, and so what? So, again, it's not going to be pleasant that one of the walls of your sukkah is a dead animal, and you probably are not going to be that excited to go out to the sukkah. And maybe you could say it's a sukkah, it's a deer srucha, but, and all said and done, and so what? So as Rashi pointed out yesterday, back to Chav Gimel Amid Aleph, so as Rashi pointed out yesterday, well, the animal's going to die, and there could be already a very small space between the animal and the top of the wall. Let's say Rashi gives a scenario. Let's say that the height of the sukkah in total is 10 tefachim, okay, a very small sukkah, and the animal only makes up 7 of those 10 tefachim, 7 a little bit more. The animal died. Because the animal died, now it totally slouches, it basically crouches down, and so it creates a gap even greater than 3 tefachim, and now you no longer have kosher walls. Okay, so that's the concern, that's the consideration according to Abaye. Rabbi Zera says, Shema Tivrach. Rabbi Zera says, no, we're afraid that's going to run away. The Gemara noted yesterday, according to Rabbi Zera, if you tie it up, if you leash it up, so you remove the concern of Shema Tivrach, and then maybe Rabbi Meir would say it's okay. All right, we pointed that out yesterday. All right, but let's go back to Abaye. So Abaye says, what's behind Rabbi Meir? So he says, I'll tell you what's behind Rabbi Meir. The idea that really it's a wall, fundamentally it's a wall, but Shema Tamos, but maybe it's going to die. So the Gemara says, is this a plausible explanation offered by Abaye? So what we're going to do is we're going to start in Chav Gimel Amud Beis. I did this yesterday, but we're going to just do it again because it's a question, it's an answer. The question begins here on the top of Chav Gimel Amud Beis, and it's going to go all the way to the bottom of Chav Dal Amud Aleph. So it's one thread, it's one train of thought. So let's begin. So the Gemara says, is this really correct? Meaning, the way Abaye is setting it up, why can't I use an animal for the wall of the sukkah? So according to Abaye, Rav Meir says we're worried that the animal will die. Rav Yehuda is not worried that the animal is going to die. The Gemara says, is this a correct analysis? Gemara says, observe the following. We're going to have a Mishnah. We're going to have a Mishnah. We're going to have a Braisa. The Mishnah reads, Hatanan, Basi Sol Shanis is a Kohen. A woman is married to a Kohen. She's not a Bas Kohen, but she's married to a Kohen. So she's afforded to be able to eat Truma because she's married to a Kohen. And what about Halach Ba'ala? I mean, Dinas Hayam. And her husband traveled on a trip. And so now he's away. And in the good old days, there really was no means of communication. Is he alive? Is he dead? I don't know. So Ocheles B'Truma B'Chesu Shukayim. So the Mishnah in Gittin says she can eat her Truma. No problem. In other words, there's an Achazaka, there's a presumption that he's going that he's alive. And he is still alive. And so therefore she can eat the Truma even though she doesn't know any better. So whoever the author of this Mishnah is, which we'll get to in just a moment, whoever the author of the Mishnah is not Choshesh Lamisa, not concerned for death. Now the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Let's say the man goes away, before he goes away, he gives his wife a get. But in other words, does not make the get valid right now, but makes the get valid effective a moment before I die. As we pointed out yesterday, ain't get lachar misa, you cannot give a get posthumously, so the get has to be effectuated before he dies. So he says, and the condition in the get is, I give you the get, and it'll be effective a moment before I die. So the moment that he boards the boat, and he sets sail, so she can't eat truma anymore. Because we don't know. In other words, he could die at any point in time, and he choshesh lamisa, and we're worried that the person's going to die, or that her husband's going to die, the get has been affected, she no longer can eat truma. The author of this brace is clearly of the position of choshesh in lamisa, that we are worried that someone's going to die. So what we have is a mishnah against the brisa, ve'amar abaye, and here's the clincher. This is why we're introducing the mishnah and the brisa, ve'amar abaye lokasha, harib me'mer, d'lachayesh lamisa, harav yuda d'chayesh lamisa. So he says, look, very easy resolution. Two Tanaim. The Mishnah and the Braisa are just reflecting two different positions amongst the Tanaim. The Mishnah is not Choshesh Lamisa. The Mishnah is Rabbi Meir. The Braisa, who is Choshesh Lamisa, so the Braisa is going like Rabbi Yehuda.
If Rabbi Yehuda is Choshesh Lamisa, how can you use an animal for war? Because it's not going to be good.
Very good. Hold on. Wait one second. Ditanya. And how do I know that this is in fact so? Meaning this is now a bias supporting his position that Rabbi Meir is not Choshesh Lamisa and Rabbi Yehuda is Choshesh Lamisa based on a brisa. This brisa we see again and again. This brisa keeps recurring throughout Shas. This brisa speaks to very fundamental ideas of Breira. So we are going to enjoy watching this brisa again and again. You buy wine from a kusi. So let's say the wine's kosher. Obviously the brisa is working with that assumption that you're allowed to drink the wine of a kusi. It does not have the status of a guy. But the problem is that the kusi was not meticulous with his performance of halacha, so he doesn't take off trumas and maisos. So you have to take off trumas and maisos. As Rashi points out, we are on Erev Shabbos. It's very close to Shabbos. I don't have the time, nor do I have the resources to be mafir trumas and maisos. And by resources, we simply mean I don't have another jug to put in to portion off truma and Meister Rishon and Meister Sheni. So what do I do? So Omer, Shei Lugim Shani Yasid LaHafish Harein Truma. So what I'll do is I'll take 2%. I won't take anything, but I'll say I'm going to leave over 2% at the end, and that'll be Truma Gedola. That'll be given to the Kohen. And Meister Rishon. And then I'll take off another 10% and I'll give it to the Levi. Now again, I'm not taking anything off. I'll leave it off at the end. Tisha Meister Sheni, Umechal, and then 9 more because I'm going to take another 10%. So as we talked about yesterday, the 2% may not be counted towards my Sarishon. Okay, but on another occasion we'll do the accounting. But anyway, 10% now will be given as Maaser Rishon. Another 10%, which is of the remainder, which is 9, is going to be Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni Meichal. What does that mean, Meichal? We pointed out yesterday. It means that you're not gonna just let the Maaser Sheni sit there in that jug of wine, but rather you're going to transfer the Kedusha onto money, because the Maaser Sheni you could take care of. That's redeemable. Truma, Maaser Rishon, non-redeemable. So there you have to leave it, you have to leave it in the jug. Vishosamiyah Divrei Rebbe Meir. And you drink it right away. And that's the position of Rebbe Meir. So in other words, Rebbe Meir, first of all, he holds the Breira. I mean, that's obvious. But the other point is that Rebbe Meir is not worried. Well, what could possibly be a concern? So as the Gemara is about to point out, what could be a concern is that you're drinking, you're good, you leave off about, what did we say yesterday, about 88% of the wine. You drink 88% of the wine, you leave the remaining 12%, approximately, and you're good. But what could happen? Jug could fall. Jug could break. Rebbe Meir is not worried about that, clearly. The Rebbe Meir says you could do this. This is a legitimate means of being mafresh Trumas HaMaisros without actually being mafresh Trumas HaMaisros. Okay, and top now Chavdal Amad Aleph, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Osrin, and Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yosef, and Rabbi Shimon says that it's also that it's prohibited. It's prohibited. Why? So their concern, and their concern is that the jug may break. In other words, we'll get to the Breira in just a moment, but right now let's just focus on what the Gemara's. The point the Gemara is accentuating, they're afraid that the jug is going to break. So, and now if the jug breaks, so that means that you lost your truma, that means you lost your meiser, that means that the hafrasha wasn't really a good hafrasha, and it means that you drank tevel, and you didn't drink yain mesukan, it wasn't corrected, it wasn't fixed. Fine. Where are we now with all this? So we have the brisa regarding the kusi. We have the two mishnayos and gittin. One mission says that we're choshesh lemisa, one mission says that we're not choshesh lemisa. And Abaye, this is the key, Abaye is the one who comes with the resolution, well, Rav Meir is not choshesh lemisa, and Rav Yehuda is choshesh lemisa. Now, what was the parallel? How did the Gemara see that from this brisa over here regarding Yan Kusi? So as Rashi points out, top Rashi on Chavdal Amad Aleph, so as Rashi points out, it's very simple. Because what do you see by Rabbi Meir? He's not worried that the jug is going to break. Meaning, it's not a concern of mine. So the Gemara is going to make a leap, the small leap. Well, if the jug isn't going to break, and if that's not a concern of Rebbe Meir, so then a person's not going to die. Meaning, you take a look at the top Rashi. Ama Rebbe Yehuda chayish lebekiyas anod, v'kol shekein lemitzas adam, v'Rebbe Meir lo chayish. Rebbe Yehuda, who is concerned, in other words, there is possibility that the jug will break. Rebbe Yehuda says, I'm concerned. So presumably, again, I know it's an assumption, but just to explain the thought process of the Gemara. So presumably, if Rebbe Yehuda is concerned that the jug is going to break, he's going to concern that people are going to die. And Rebbe Meir is not concerned that the jug is going to break, so Rebbe Meir is concerned that people are not going to die. Now, I know that we're comparing inanimate objects to people. And we can make distinctions, and the Gemara will make distinctions, but right now, just to explain the thought process of the Gemara. Now, all this becomes a problem because of where we started this morning. Where did we start this morning? Can I use an animal for the wall of a sukkah? So, Rav Meir says no. Rav Yehuda says yes. Now, Rav Meir says no. Why? So Abaye's explanation is because Rabbi Meir is worried that the animal is going to die. So now, right. So based on Abaye's resolution between the Mishnah, the Braisa, and Gittin, based on the Braisa of Yain Kusi, it comes out now that Rav Meir is not worried that people are going to die, and Rav Meir is not worried that jugs are going to break. And again, so really all this is problematic towards Abaye. Abaye, your explanation regarding Rav Meir, regarding an animal for the wall of the sukkah, does not accord with your explanation of the Mishnah and Gittin, and your explanation of Yain Kusi. Yes, but right now it's really more than anything else. It's a kasha and Abaye,
yeah.
Right? And because the Mishnayos could work, but not with Abaye's explanation. Abaye, so Apoch. So the Gemara says, okay. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to flip. Rabbi Meir Chayish Lamisa, Rabbi Yehuda Lachayish Lamisa. So in terms of the Mishnah and the Braisa and Gittin, so basically again, the problem is obvious. One Mishnah says that when your husband goes away, you can eat truma. The other, the Braisa says that when your husband goes away, you can no longer eat truma. Okay. But what, and the resolution will be the same. The Mishnah is not Choshesh Lamisa. The Braisa is Choshesh Lamisa. But here's what we'll do. We'll just simply flip around Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir. We'll attach Rabbi Yehuda to the Mishnah, we'll attach Rabbi Meir to the Braisa. Now it's almost starting to work. Almost. Meaning, so now it comes out that Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lamisa. That's the Braisa regarding Gittin. That's his position regarding the wall of a sukkah, using an animal as a wall of a sukkah, where Rabbi Meir says it's no good, and Abai says because we're worried that the animal is going to die. So on that regard, we're good. Rabbi Yehuda says that regarding Gittin, we're not worried that someone's going to die. Regarding the animal, the used as a wall of a sukkah, we're not worried that the animal is going to die. So far, we're almost good, except for one problem. I'm sorry, before we get to the problem, D'tanya, let me just finish reading the Gemara. I'll say, L'mehem adofen l'sukkah, if you made an animal as a wolf for a sukkah, Rabbi Meir posts Rabbi Yehuda Machshir. Okay, good. And we have a braisa that supports this as well. Where Rabbi Meir says that it's possible, Rabbi Yehuda says that it's kosher, good. So in that regard, we're okay. However, where are we not okay? Yain kusi. Because the case of Yain kusi, we're there, Rabbi Meir says, go ahead, drink the wine. Rabbi Yehuda says, don't you dare drink the wine. So now, if our position is, if Abaye's position is, Rabbi Meir is Choshesh Lamisa, and Rabbi Yehuda is not Choshesh Lamisa, so then how do we understand the case of Yain kusi? So Kasha to Rabbi Meir, to Rabbi Meir. So it's difficult for Rabbi Meir. So Amalcha Rabbi Meir, Misa Shchicha, because I know the Shchicha. So the Gemara gives a very simple, I'm sorry, let me just read five more words. Efshar Demaser Lei L'Shomer. Four. So you can hand it over to a Shomer. So the Gemara says, look, we can make a very simple distinction on behalf of Rabbi Meir. When it comes to humans, when it comes to animals, death is inevitable. Okay, sorry. I didn't mean to start the day on such a morose point, but death is inevitable. So therefore, we're Choshesh Lamisa. So therefore, there is a concern that the person's going to die, that the animal's going to die, the get is effective, the woman can't marry. The woman can't eat truma immediately, the animal's going to die, and your sukkah is no longer going to be a good sukkah. That shita's Rav Meir. Regarding the node, we're talking about a flask. We're now worried that the flask is going to break open. It's a flask. It doesn't have to break open. You can hand it to a shomer. There's more control. Right, it's not inevitable. There's more control. So we can make a very simple distinction between the cases of the husband dying and the animal dying versus the case of Bikias Anod. Kasha to Rabbi Yehuda, to Rabbi Yehuda. So now the Gemara says, fine. You ironed out Rabbi Meir. Now let's try to iron out Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yehuda's position, again, according to Abaye, is that he's not Choshesh Lamisa. And we see that regarding the Braisa and Gittin. Sorry, the Mishnah and Gittin. We see that regarding the fact that he allows an animal to be used as a wall of the sukkah. So, time of the Rabbi Yehuda, la mishum dechayish lebekiyas anod, and la mishum delech lebreira. And as far as the case of Yain kusi, why does he tell you, don't you dare drink that wine? It has nothing to do with maybe the jug will split open, maybe the jug will not split open. That's not the issue. The issue is much more fundamental, and that is, he doesn't hold a breira. You cannot make retroactive selection. Now, as we pointed out yesterday, let's just quickly introduce ourselves to the idea of breira. I know we've done a number of times, but reintroducing ourselves is always good. Breira means as follows. I'm making a decision. I need to make a decision now, but for whatever reason, I'm not making it now. I will make a decision later, and what I'd like to do is I'd like that decision I make later to go all the way back and move retroactively to this point. That is the basic idea of Breyer. In other words, we have two points. We have point A, we have a point later on, point B. I'll make the decision at point B, but I need it to go back all the way to point A. So being mafresh truma to maisos is a perfect example, where before you drink, you have to be mafresh truma to maisos. So here's what I'll do. I will say that, look, right now I only have one jug. I can't do the actual hafrasha. Whatever I leave over at the end, that will be Trumas HaMaisos. That only allowed me to drink if when I leave something over at the end, I can now say, Lim Afer, retroactively, going all the way to point A, that was the part that I wanted. That was the part that was going to be selected as Trumas HaMaisros. So, do we hold the Breira? Major Machlokas throughout all of Shas. And now what the Gemara is going to argue is that according to Rav Yehuda, he doesn't hold the Breira. So the reason why he can't drink the Yain Kusi is not because I'm worried the jug will break, the word jug won't break, that's not the issue. The issue is, you can't be Mafra Trumas HaMaisros based on the principle of Breira. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's just read the Braisa. Meaning, that may be plausible what you're saying, but it doesn't fit into the words of the Braisa. Because the Braisa says, aren't you worried that the jug is going to break? And if the jug breaks, are you drinking Tevelam Afreya? And what does Rav Meir say? Rav Meir says, when the jug breaks, otherwise stated, I'm not worried. This is not a concern of mine. So Mechlal Dechayish Rav Yehuda B'Kiasanot. So it comes out now that Rav Yehuda is, I mean, he's arguing, so it sounds like what his concern is that the jug is going to break. So the Gemara explains now. Hasam Rav Yehuda Hu Dekamala Rabbi Meir. So really the truth of the matter is that's not really Rav Yehuda's own argument. He was being argumentative, but that's not his own argument. He was saying, look, Lindy D. Leisli Breira. Look, from my position, I don't hold the Breira. So for me, this whole discussion doesn't even get off the ground. You're going to be Mafra Trumas HaMaisros later on and saying retroactively it's effective now? No, it doesn't work. I don't hold the Breira. But, look, but I know you hold the Breira. I do get that. But shouldn't there be another consideration, and that is the jug may break? And if the jug breaks and you lose your Trumas HaMaisros, it turns out now that you never are Mafra Trumas HaMaisros, and it turns out that retroactively you drank Tevel. To that, Rabbi Meir says, I'm not worried. Good. By the way, I was kind of expecting you to ask this question, but by the way, Rabbi Meir's general shita throughout Shas is he's choshesh lemiyuta. He's always concerned about that small percentage. And it's a little bit odd that now, right, in the last Amud of Gemara, basically what we've been saying is that Rav Meir's not worried, right? Don't worry, the jug won't break. I'm sure of it. I'm concerned about it. Oh, you're worried the jug's going to break? I'm not worried. So how does that reconcile with Rabbi Meir's general shita of Ein Chosh, I'm sorry, that he is Choshesh Lemiyuta? So I don't know. But I was thinking about it.
But the thing is that maybe it's not a real meal. Maybe it's not
right. I mean, could be. That's why he said earlier, right? Esher the master le shomer. You give it over to a shomer. Meaning, maybe right. Maybe his argument is that there's no possibility. Meaning, it's right. Just totally. It's a totally controllable situation.
It's stolen. It could be allowed to happen.
Right.
But
okay. Where are we right now? Now we could say we have ironed everything out. Meaning every mishnah, every brisa. And Abai's explanations all work out. Okay, so it took us. This is our second day into the discussion, but it all worked out. We now have Rabbi Meir not concerned with death. Let me reverse that position. We have Rabbi Meir being choshesh lemisa. He is concerned with death. Therefore, right when the Kohen hands the get to his wife and he says this will be effective a moment before I die, and he goes off, she can't eat truma immediately. And as far as using the animal as the walls of a sukkah, you can't use it because the animal may die. So Rabbi Meir's position is that he is choshesh lemisa. And what about the yain kusi? Not worried. That's because that's not death. That's talking about the breaking of a flask. And Rabbi Meir says that just simply is not something we need to worry about. And Rabbi Yehuda is not choshesh lemisa. So in terms of the Mishnah getting perfect, the husband goes away, the Kohen husband goes away, she can eat truma. In terms of using an animal for the walls of your sukkah, not a problem, the animal's not going to die. Okay.
What's that?
Wait. I only say wait because the story's not over yet. So the Gemara says, can we remember what we learned the first day on Yuma? Yuma Dav Beis. We need a Kohen Gadol to be sequestered for 7 days. 7 days of preparation in order to get him ready for the Avodas Yom HaKippurim. And he needs to be married. The Torah says, V'chiper ba'ado v'ad beiso, that when he brings the carbon, it'll be a kapar for both him and his wife, beiso zuishto. And he has to be, right, and I mentioned in the beginning of Yuma, the only time I could think of where the Torah demands a monogamous relationship. Okay? So in other words, not only does he need a wife, but he needs one wife. And what about, what if the Kohen Gadol becomes tummy or something happens to him? So we'll set aside a deputy Kohen Gadol, where if in the event that he needs to be called out of the bullpen, so we'll call him out of the bullpen. What if his wife dies? So now that's a serious what if. So Rav Yehuda says, oh, no problem at all. You know what we'll do? We'll set aside another woman. She'll be waiting so that if we need another wife for the Kohen Gadol, we'll call her out of the bullpen and she'll get married. And you remember we had a fun discussion in the beginning of Yuma. How exactly does that marriage work on Yom Kippur? But okay. But right now what the Gemara is bothered by is who's the Tana in the beginning of Masechta Yuma who says, well, we'll just simply have another wife in waiting. So the Gemara says it's Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda Omer, Afisha Acheres, Matkin Lo, Shematamos Ishto. We get another wife ready in the eventuality that maybe his wife is going to die. Well, that's not a Brera issue. That was a discussion of how he's going to marry only one of them, right? And it was right. That was a fun discussion. And by fun, I mean complicated. So here he's choshesh lamisa. So hayid marla amar avuna breja of Yeshua malu asa bekapara. So the Gemara says, okay, that's a Mishnah and Yuma. Look, there are chumras regarding Yom Kippur. Many chumras that we saw together regarding Yom Kippur. So the fact that we're going to get another wife, that's not according to the strict letter of the law. That's just simply mala. That's a chumra that was instituted because of the kedushas Yom Kippur. Okay. All right. Now this question has been lying in wait for now a daf, for an entire blot of Gemara. Rashi on the previous daf told us that this question was coming, and here comes now a really difficult question, which the Gemara, you know, in other words, if you want to picture, the Gemara now has just been working, theorizing, postulating, speculating, you know, trying to line everyone up together. The Gemara spent a significant amount of time trying to get everything together, all the pieces together. And then, like, you know, with a lot of good theories, you know, you drop one question into it and it just blows the whole thing up. So here the Gemara now is basically about to do that. The Gemara is about to blow everything up. And what's the problem? The problem is that now our explanation of our mayor basically goes something like this. He says that if you have an animal, you cannot use it for the wall of the sukkah. Well, why not? Because we're afraid the animal's going to die. This has been Abai's explanation, and what we've done is we've smoothed it over vis-a-vis a Mishnah, and getting vis-a-vis a Bryce regarding Yain Kusi, but this is basically Abai's explanation of Rabbi Meir. What does that mean? It means we're afraid the animal's going to die, but that's a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. Let's speak fundamentally. Is the animal a wall, yes or no, according to Rabbi Meir? Fundamentally. Yes. It's a wall. It's only because of Gzeira D'Rabbanan do we not allow it. But fundamentally, it is a wall. Okay. And now you remember what we discussed yesterday? We discussed it not only in terms of its application as a wall for the sukkah, but we talked about it. You want to look back at Chav Gimel Amud Aleph. We talked about Dofen LeSukkah. Dofen LeSukkah, Lechi LeMavui, putting at the entrance of a Mavui, serving as a Lechi. Pasim LeBeiraos, right, making the makeshift for Shusa Yachid. So we're making the four brackets and the four corners. He said you want to use an animal again. Gola lekever. Right, this is a critical one. Gola, I mean, they're all critical, but for our discussion. Gola lekever. Now, what does that mean? So again, we're just going to go with Rashi. Tosos yesterday's daf disagreed. But Rashi says gola lekever means the top of an aron. The top of an aron, the lid of an aron, of a mace, has the same status as the mace itself. A mace gives off tumas maga, masa. Ohel, the golel, the lid, also is going to give off tumas, maga, masa, and ohel. Now, Rabbi Meir says that fundamentally, it is or it isn't a mechitza. Fundamentally, it is. It just happens to be. I mean, if it has a status of a mechitza, the answer is going to be yes. only because it has the mechitza, not because it's a live animal. So the.
But the thing is a live animal capable of becoming tummy?
Generally, no. But again, we're not. We're looking at it as both a live animal and as a mechitza. Okay, you're right. It's an anomaly. It's certainly anomalous. But yes. What comes out now is that fundamentally, according to Rav Meir, is a mechitza. So here's the problem, and it's a huge problem. And the Gemara articulates it. Amar Rav Huna Bereder of Yeshua. I'm sorry. No. Bein Lamanda Amar. I'm going back to the Gemara, where we are. Bein Lamanda Amar Shem Tomas. Bein Lamanda Amar Shem Tivrach. Nida Araisa Mechitza Mal Yehu. V'Rabbanan Hu DeGazru Ba. So it's really a mechitza, fundamentally. The rabbis made a gzera, which is the reason why we can't use it, again, according to Rabbi Meir. Elamei Hatala Rabbi Meir Titami Mishum Golo. But that means that, according to Rabbi Meir, if it's fundamentally a mechitza, shouldn't it get a status of golo? Meaning, I understand that regarding the walls of a sukkah will be machmer. I'll understand that regarding Pasei Beiros and Lechi Lamavui will be machmer. But now, here's what Rabbi Meir is doing. He's being makel on the case of golo.
What does golo mean?
Golo is the, again, according to Rashi, the lid of the Aron. He's being makel regarding golo, meaning it is fundamentally a wall. So if it's fundamentally a wall, how can Rav Meir possibly say, oh, don't worry, it's not tamei mishum golo? No, it is, because it's a mechitza. It's fundamentally, the animal's fundamentally a wall. Alam HaTanam, we have a Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda metamei mishum golo. Rabbi Meir metayer. Rabbi Yehuda says that it's subject to tumas golo. And Rabbi Meir says it's not subject to tumas golo. Rabbi Meir says it's tahor. And by the way, Rashi points out, why don't we just quote the Brice on Chav Gimel Amad Aleph? Why are we quoting this new Mishnah? So Rashi gives a couple of explanations, but Rashi says this Mishnah couldn't state any clearer. Rabbi Meir's metahir. Rabbi Meir says that it's tahor. So now, Abaye, your explanation doesn't work. You say that according to Rabbi Meir, fundamentally the animal serves as a mechitza, but because of gzeros, we can't use the animal as a mechitza. Well, here, if it's fundamentally a mechitza, it should be subject to tumas golo. So your explanation simply doesn't work. And so now, this is a question, it's a really difficult question, and basically, now what the Gemara is going to do is, basically all the work that's on the board, although I wrote nothing on the board, but all the work that we've done, the Gemara says, you know what? Scratch it. Erase it. Ella Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So now what we're going to do is we're going to give now a totally new explanation within Rabbi Meir. Now, what do we do with this last blot of Gemara that we just went through? Where basically the Gemara says, scratch it. Well, as we point out a number of times, we're not really scratching it. Meaning, right, all the Mishnayos and all the Braises that we did are correct. The explanations that we gave, the Braver discussion that we have is all correct. Meaning, all we're doing is just dismantling a biased explanation of Rabbi Meir vis-a-vis why I can't use an animal as a wall of a sukkah. That's all we're doing. We're not really deconstructing the entire last blot of Gemara. We're just simply going back to the beginning of the discussion and his thesis that Rabbi Meir really fundamentally holds it's a wall, but it's just a gzera that maybe the animal's going to die. So the Gemara says we're going to have to reject that explanation of Rabbi Meir, and we're now going to offer a new explanation of Rabbi Meir. What's our new explanation of Rabbi Meir? El Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Kasav Rabbi Meir, Kol Mechitza Shomeres Beruach, Eino Mechitza. So, we're going to say it in one of two ways. The first way we're going to say it is, any mechitza that is omeres beruach, that's basically full of air, is not considered a mechitza. An animal is considered, I know this is going to require us to think a little bit, but the animal is considered full of air. Okay. The, fine.
Oxygen.
Huh?
Anything you
use oxygen. Okay. No, well, you see, be careful, because that's really more the second way the Gemara is going to say it. Iga de Amrei, now the Gemara says it in a slightly different version. Amrei v'achar v'yakov kasari b'meir kol mechitza she'eno asuyi b'de adam eino mechitza. Any mechitza that's not man-made is not considered a mechitza. So in other words, basically like this. Let's try to do it this way. This is our new explanation of Meir is much more of a fundamental explanation. It's not going. It's not a gzera. This has nothing to do with gzera. This has to do with the fact that the animal is simply not a wall. Animal cannot be a wall. Cannot be used as a wall. Doesn't have the status of a wall. Why not? So again, let's go over version one and version two. Version one of Rav Acha bar Yaakov is it doesn't have the status of a wall because it's basically it's filled with air. In other words, I need something substance, solid, and it can't be just simply a balloon. The first version, the first way we're looking at it is, you know what the animal really is? It's basically, it's a balloon. I understand it's alive. I understand it's not an inanimate object. But the key issue, according to the first version of Rav Acha bar Yaakov, is that it's full of air. And that's not a mechitza. The second version of Rav Acha bar Yaakov says, basically, again, it's not a mechitza, it's not a wall. Why? Because it's eino asur bidei adam. It's not man-made. Now, what exactly that means, that happens to be, I was looking at Rabbi Kornfeld and his notes on the daf, and he points out that, what does that mean it's not man-made? Well, I mean, neither is a tree. Not, wood is also not man-made. But, right, he quotes the Sfas Emes. Maybe what Rav Acha bar Yaakov means over here when he says that it's not man-made is that humans can't create it, meaning it's an animal. Right, grow them. We could raise them, but we don't have the ability. In other words, we don't have the ability to make it. Right, wood, huh? Yeah, okay. right. We have we're testing that as well. But anyway, but fine. Either way, we have two versions of how we're going to say it. But basically, it comes out now that this is a fundamental discussion. Rav Meir says that the animal cannot be used as a wall mechitza because an animal is not a wall, either because it's full of air or because it's not man-made. Now the Gemara says, "My beinayu." Now the Gemara says, "Now there's a subtle difference between these two explanations that we just given." Let's say I make my walls out of basically balloons. I know the Gemara here is not talking about latex balloons, but in other words, basically inflatable balloons that are filled with air. So, Laman Damer Mechitza Omenes Beruach in a Mechitza. Hare Omenes Beruach. Now, if the issue is that a wall can't be just simply an inflated gas bag, so this is no good. But Laman Damer in a Subi De Adam, Hare Asui Be De Adam. But according to the explanation that says that the issue is that the animal is not something which is man made, here the inflated balloons are man made and therefore would work. So, two versions of how we're going to explain Rabbi Meir. Right. In other words, right. If it's something which is malaya ruach, so then that should disqualify the human as well.
Right.
And we know the Gemara in Erevin. I mentioned at the beginning of today's daf. We know the Gemara in Erevin says that humans can be used as walls, and humans can be used as mechitzas. Now, maybe I'm thinking off the fly. Terrible way to go. But I'm thinking maybe that the Gemara in Erevin is not going like Rabbi Meir. Okay, maybe.
Moral leniency is that we don't apply to sukkah.
All right. Maybe. I don't know. Okay.
No, maybe only some humans have full of it.
Right. Okay. So let's just quickly wrap it up. We have we're finished with the sugya. That was a lengthy sugya, admittedly. Not so complicated. As long as you got just keep everything straightened out. It's not super complicated, but basically. What we have now are two discussions that we just finished up. One is putting a sukkah on top of an animal, and the animal being the base of the sukkah. So there, machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir says it's fine. Rav Yehuda says it's puzzle. It's no good. And why should that be? So as we write, it's not fit for 7 days, according to Rav Yehuda. Yeah, and then on that issue, I assume we go like Rav Meir because the Sam Mishnah is going like Rav Meir, and right, that seems to be correct. Our second issue, which has basically taken up an entire daf to so far today, has been the issue of that using an animal as a mechitza. So there, the positions are switched. Rabbi Meir says it doesn't work, and Rabbi Yehuda says it does work. Okay, so first of all, halacha goes like Rabbi Yehuda. So a lot of now what we're going to be discussing is the Torah, but not lemaisa. So the halacha goes like Rabbi Yehuda. So if you want to leash your animal right up against the walls of the sukkah and use it as a wall of the sukkah. So that's kasha, makes for a kasha sukkah. Okay, I don't know how comfortable sukkah it is, but I know how much your guests are going to love it. But it works. In other words, the animal could serve as a mechitza. Rav Meir says it doesn't work. Why not? So far we could say now two explanations of Rebbe Meir. Either number one, the Abaye explanation, which is that according to Rebbe Meir, he's kosher shlemisa, he's worried that the animal is going to die, and therefore it's going to shrink and shrivel, and you won't have the requisite 10 tefachim of wool. That's one explanation of Rabbi Meir. Also, let's not forget, I mean, he writes in Amora, Rabbi Zera says maybe we're worried the animal's going to run away. That was another possible suggestion, and therefore that's why you lose the mechitza. Or another possible explanation, Rabbi Meir, which is what we just ended up with, is that no, fundamentally the animal cannot serve as a mechitza. It doesn't gain the status of a mechitza, either because it's not man-made, or because it is just simply it's a gas bag. I mean that literally. It's just it's full of air and therefore cannot serve as a mechitza. Adkan. Chaf Dalet Amud Beis, we're on the top of the Amud. We're now going to just tie up some loose ends. All right, what loose ends are we talking about? We mentioned going all the way back to Chav Gimel that that according to Rav Yossi Aglili, you cannot write your get on an animal. Okay, now oddly enough, of course we write our getting on the on a cloth, right, which could be the hide of the animal, but you can't write it on a live animal. Okay, that's the position of Rav Yossi Aglili. Why not? This is Gemara's discussion. We'll discuss this briefly. Amar Marj Mishum Rav Yossi Glila, Amar Rav Inkosun Alav Gitei Nashim, you can't write again on an animal. Now why not? My time to Rav Yossi Glila, Detanya, Sefer, Ainli Allah Sefer, Minan La Rabbis, called Davar Tamalomar Vikasav La. The Torah's requirement when discussing a get, Parshas Kiseitze, is that you write the get on a Sefer. Now I might have thought that Sefer only meant literally a Sefer, meaning it has to be parchment, it has to be cloth. How do you know that you can write it pretty much on anything? You could carve it on, I don't know about carving, but you can write on a piece of wood, you could write on basically anything. So the Kasav Law, the Torah says that you write for her, meaning the Torah is focusing on the act of writing. What it needs to be written on, so we're not, doesn't have to be that fully defined. So, the Kasav Law, Mikama Kam. Imke Matam Alam is safer. Okay, but it's curious though, the Torah does use the word safer. Lam Lachama, safer. Davashim Boru Chayim, Veino Ochel. Af kol davar she'ein bo ruach chayim ve'eino ochel. Sefer is just coming to limit and minimize. I can't write it on animated objects, live creatures that eat, otherwise known as animals, or for that matter, people as well. Right? You want to write the get on the body of another person? Oh, that's odd. I know that's odd, but anyway. But that's what the Torah is limiting when it says, yeah. I know. Yeah, correct. That's a
permanent.
Okay, yeah. So b'shem bo ruach chayim v'ein ochel v'rabbanan. Now with the chachamim, in other words, how do they? They obviously argue with Rav Yossi Aglili, and they say that you can write again an animal. So ikos of basefer or bisefer. It's a good thing I'm not leaning. But if it would have said bisefer or basefer, so kedikamar. So in other words, I give it to you. If the Torah says you write it in the book, but hashtadich siv sefer, but the Torah says the kasav la sefer, sefer over here has nothing to do with the material. Nothing to do with the material. You know what the word sefer over here means? L'sfir is dvarim ba'amahu da'asa. Sefer means you're telling a story. It's not a pleasant story. It's not a happy story. But sefer over here just simply means now we're reporting. And what are we reporting? That we're not married anymore. That's sefer. Now, according to the Chachamim, what do we do with the words Vikasav? Because quite frankly, we don't need it according to the Chachamim. Meaning, because there is no limitation. You can write the get on whenever you want, because there is no limitation. It doesn't say ba sefer, it simply says sefer. So, so the Gemara says what the Chachamim do with the word Vikasav law is the mechanism in which get is affected. How do you affect a get? It's a very basic discussion. How do you affect a get? Tziva. Has to be written down. What might I have thought? Because I would have thought, going back to the beginning of Parshas, not beginning, the middle of Parshas Kiseitze, where the Torah describes you get married, you get divorced, and there's a hekesh, and they're connecting the same pasuk, mahavaya bekesef, avitziya bekesef. So we know a way of affecting marriage is kesef. So I might have thought that the way of affecting divorce would have been kesef as well. That's a havamina. That's what I would have thought. Kamash malan. So that's what the chiddush is. The kasuv of law says no. That the only means of effecting divorce is only ksiva. It's only written. Rav Yosi Glili ha'isvar minalei. Now, Rav Yosi Glili agrees with that point. Where does he derive that point from? Me sefer krisus nafgalei. Sefer korsa vein davar acher korsa. There has to be the sefer is creating that schism, that division between husband and wife, and nothing else. V'idach. Now, what is it? What about the chachamim? What do they do with the phrase sefer krisus? Haomi bayle ledavar akares beino lebeino. That's talking about something which is dividing her and him. Meaning, sefer krisus generates another halacha, and that is that when they get a divorce, no strings attached. Zero strings attached. What does that mean? Kidetanya. The Gemara here gives a couple of examples. Look, I'll divorce you, but with a condition. You never take another drink of wine in your life. Okay? That's not a good get. Why not? Because string attached. If there's anything, any condition that will always connect her to him, meaning the get is only conditional if I don't drink wine. Meaning the moment she drinks wine, the condition now is broken. The get has been get has been annulled. Now it's no good. By definition, that's not a good get. Another example: Amenash lo tech lebeis avich, or let's say your parents drove me crazy the entire marriage. I'm sorry for being so crass, but your parents drove me crazy the entire marriage. You know what? I'll divorce you, but you can't go back to your parents' home ever. Again, that's not a good get because it creates a string connecting him and her. It has to be la'olam means that krisus. I'm sorry, la'olam means a krisus. That's not krisus by definition. Krisus is where there is a full split, full division between him and her, and there's no strings attached. Now, the Brisa does point out kol shloshim yom ha'reza krisus. Now, but let's say it's a limited condition. He says, how about this? I'll divorce you, but you can't drink wine for 30 days. Or you can't go to your parents' house for 30 days. That's fair. I take back the word fair. I mean, not for me to say fair. That works. Because, right, that is a finite condition that will not last her for the rest of her life. Hopefully she'll live more than 30 days. That's a finite condition. That's fair. And as Rashi points out, and the get will be effective? Immediately. It just happens to be that she'll have to be bound by this condition, but it's a limited condition, fulfillable, and therefore eventually there will be a full division between husband and wife, and therefore that's going to be considered a good get. So that's what the chachamim get from the word sefer krisos. V'idach. Now, what about Rav Yosi Aglili, who agrees with that point? Mikaris krisos nafka. So he gets that he generates the same halacha from the fact that the Torah could have said sefer kares. It says sefer krisus, so there are two points to be generated. Number one, that get can only be affected through writing, and two, there has to be a full separation between husband and wife. V'idach karis krisus l'darshi, and the chachamim don't generate two halachas from the fact that the Torah could have written the word kares and instead have written krisus. Okay.
How about this? In case of the get, a minute before I die, that's like a.
No, that's fine. That's not, in other words, because there, once the get's been affected, the get's been affected. Here, the problem is that the get is affected right now, but for the rest of her life, she is bound to him. She still has a connection to him. She takes a sip of wine the rest of her life, that's it. The get's been annulled. Right? That's, in other words, that's once the get's been given, if anything is still connecting her to him, by definition, that's not a good get. I mean, I can only tell you what the Gemara says. The Gemara says 30 days. So, that's 30 days is temporary. So, I understand that it leaves for us a wide range between 30 days and the rest of her life, but, okay. Ha'osa sukkah ben alanz v'ilanz defanos lak shera. You make a sukkah amongst trees, okay? And the tree serves as walls. That's okay. We already talked about this a number of times, but let's reiterate. The walls of your sukkah can be made out of any material. Your schach has to be gedulah min haaretz, nekar min haaretz, talush min haaretz, growing from the ground, detached from the ground, not turned into a kli. But your walls, there's no limitation. You can make your wall out of any material. And so therefore, you want to make your wall amongst trees, that's fine.
But this one's counter to what we said a few days ago, anything that makes a schach ineligible cannot be used for a wall.
Oh, mamed.
Right.
The mamed discussion. Right. Yeah. So I saw. I also saw. Now I don't remember. Right. I saw a discussion.
No, like very, it was very methody.
Yes. Yes. Right. Correct. Correct. Okay, basically, let's just deal with the basic point of the Gemara, of the Mishnah, and of the ensuing Gemara. Trees can serve as walls. Fine. At this point in time, I think it'd almost be fair to say we knew this. In other words, you could use materials for walls that you can't use for schach. So Amar Rav Acher bar Yaakov. So the Gemara brings this to the following discussion. Any mechitza that cannot stand within a ruach mitzvah is not considered a mechitza. Now, over here, it's an important Rashi, it's a short Rashi, and it really will frame the entire discussion of this Gemara. What's going on here? Now, we already talked about the sukkah on the top of a boat. Okay? Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Gamliel, right? Rabbi Akiva says, you put your sukkah on the top of the boat, that's fine. Rabbi Gamliel says, no, it's not. Why? Because the wind can blow it over. In fact, they were on a boat together, Rabbi Akiva built the boat, built the sukkah on top of the boat. Next morning, wind blew it off. Rabbi Gamliel says, "You see, I told you, right? I told you so. It's not a sukkah. Here, now I know that sounds like we're repeating a discussion, but take a look at Rashi. Take a look at the first Rashi in the Gemara. Short Rashi, but he really frames the entire discussion. Sheni yochol amod baruch mitzuya shaharuach molicha umevia. So the problem is now swaying walls is, says Rashi, our discussion now. It's not an issue of the sukkah is going to fall, sukkah is not going to fall. No, it's just the problem now is that in order for something to have the status of mechitza, it has to be rigid. It can't be swaying back and forth. Now I know this obviously, right? This obviously will generate the question: well, can I use canvas as a wall for my sukkah? You'll ask your rav.
Tie it up.
Okay, I gave you your marching orders. You'll ask your Rav, he'll tell you. But in terms of the discussion of the Gemara, Rashi says that's exactly our discussion. Whether or not swaying walls could actually serve as walls. Rav Acher bar Yaakov says it doesn't. It doesn't. Swaying walls do not work. So this Gemara is very straightforward because, and let's get through it all. Because basically what we're going to do is we're going to quote Mishnah and Braises that seem to suggest swaying walls are fine. Tanano says, who cost the bein alonis vein alonis to funnels? Look, Shera. So the Gemara says, look, you're making your sukkah and you're using trees as walls. Now, right now, what the Gemara is envisioning is flimsy trees, thin trees, and they're swaying back and forth. And shouldn't that be no good according to you, Rav Acher bar Yaakov? So, haka azel va'asei? Gemara asks the question. Aren't the walls going back and forth? They're swaying? Haka b'maiskin and b'kashin. So the Gemara says, okay, so change the picture in your mind of our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is talking about big, thick trees, old trees. They are rigid. They're not going anywhere. V'haika nofo. The Gemara says, what about the branches? The avile behutza v'dafna. So the Gemara says, you tied up the branches. The branches are not going anywhere. You secure the branches with ropes and strings, and you're going to hear that answer come up again and again. So you tied it up with behutza v'dafna. I'hachim ala memra. So the Gemara says, okay, you know what? Great. Can I ask you now a simple question? What's the chiddush in our Mishnah? Isn't the point of the Mishnah is to tell us about chidushim? Now, we're talking about a thick tree. The tree's not swaying back and forth. And I tied up the branches. What's the chiddush? So the Gemara says, so the Gemara says, I'll tell you what the chiddush is. You know, you can't hang your jacket on a tree. Okay? Let's say it's a gzera derabanan. I might Shabbat nor Yontif. I might have thought that, look, from a sukkah standpoint, it's fine. But maybe the rabbis made a gzera that if I use trees as walls for my sukkah, I'm going to buy, you know, unmistakably, I'm going to hang it on the side. That's the Havamina. And the Chiddush of our Mishnah is it's not a problem. Okay. Tashma, Yesham Ilan, Ogedor, Mechitza, Akanim, Nida, Mishum, Diyumad. We're going back to our bracketed Rishus HaYachid, our makeshift Rishus HaYachid, which is created by 4 L brackets placed in 4 corners to give a visual perspective that we are actually surrounded by walls. And for Shabbos, for the Ole Regal, it works. So the Gemara says, Now, even if it's made out of a tree, and again, the Gemara says that they were tied down, they were secured down with ropes and mats, and in other words, they were tied down. Tashma ha'ilan ha'mesach ha'la'aretz im ein ofo gavom en arshol shetzvach metalton tachtav. Okay, I think of the big willow trees up in the northeast, where basically you go from the base of the trunk, and the tree creates like an umbrella. And the Mishnah tells us in Erevin that if, let's say, the branches go all the way down to the ground, and basically the tree creates a natural canopy, and as long as the branches are within three tefachim of the ground, it's fine. Fine, by fine I mean you can carry within the tree.
Why don't you just
put a pitikra
with it?
Because pitikra can close off. Pitikra, first of all, can only close off one wall. It can't close off another. Over here, we're just talking about making an actual Rosh Hashiachin. Amai haka'azava ase. And again, the branches are swaying back and forth. Asamnami David Leba Hutzava Dafna. And again, the Gemara says that they were tied down. They were tied down with mats, and so therefore they're not swaying. So the Gemara says, really, they were tied down. So in other words, it's not all natural. There was human involvement. So the Gemara says, Alama Amar Avuna Breder Av Yeshua Metaltalam Bo Ela Beis Asayim. So the Gemara says, so why is the area capped? Top of Chaf Amar Aleph. What does that mean, the area is capped? I can only carry under the tree if the total area under the tree is less than 5,000 square amos. But if the area exceeds 5,000 square amos, then I cannot carry under the tree. Now, what is this idea of 5,000 square amos? We've talked about this in Erevin extensively. That basically, if I have a enclosed area, but it's not hukaf ladira, it wasn't built for residential purposes, so then as gzera derabanan, it has a karfaf status, remember that term? It has a karfaf status, and I cannot rabbinically carry in such an area, even though it's an enclosed area. This tree, if it's less than 5,000 square amos, I can carry underneath, but if it exceeds 5,000 square amos, I cannot carry underneath. But the Gemara now wonders, if we tie down the branches, it's no longer a organic entity. In other words, it was manipulated by human beings for the purposes of residence. It's hukaf ladira. So shouldn't there be no cap? Shouldn't I be able to carry underneath it regardless of how big it is? So the Gemara says, Amishim to have a dira shetash mishela avir, v'chol dira shetash mishela avir, eim metaltalim bo, ela sasayim. So the Gemara says, yes, you tied it down. But the truth of the matter is that even when you tied it down, it wasn't done so for the interior purposes. It was done for the exterior, and so therefore, it still is going to be capped at 5,000 square amos. Okay, we have a couple more of these to do. We'll finish it up tomorrow, obviously. But basically, Rav Acher Bar Yaakov's position is that swaying walls are no good. What about all the mishnayos and the brises that we saw? So the Gemara says either they're thick and they don't sway, or they were tied down and therefore they don't sway back and forth.